talk to me. And we'd love to have you as a part of this congregation as members as well. Well, today we are going into a new sermon series that'll take us up to Thanksgiving and then Advent and Christmas time. But before we get there, we have a short series on Love Your Neighbor. We were sitting around the church council table at a meeting one time years ago, and it had been a very contentious meeting because the council members were wrestling with how best to respond to a situation, and passions ran high, and finally one member said, "Well, whatever we do, I think we should love our neighbor as ourselves," or I can't remember specifically which quote of Jesus they gave. Maybe it was that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. They spoke that word into the midst of that meeting that was filled with so much anxiety and maybe even a little anger. And one of the council members said, "Well, that won't get us anywhere." And the person said, "But it's what Jesus said." And the person shot back, "I don't care what Jesus said. I think." And then it got silent when that person and the rest of the table realized what had been said. "I don't care what Jesus said." Do you care? Do you care what Jesus said? We have elections on Tuesday, and passions are running high there as well, and you undoubtedly have a neighbor or a friend or maybe even a family member that you disagree with on who should be elected to various offices. And come Wednesday, one of you is going to be disappointed. So how are you going to treat your neighbor when your candidate wins? Or how are you going to treat your neighbor when your candidate loses? And I especially mean your neighbor that has those 27-yard signs for the candidate that you detest, and they've had them up for 5 months. How are you going to treat your neighbor? You know, Jesus said that the second of the two great commandments is love your neighbor as you love yourself. He also said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus has strived to be perfect, perfect in love, love for your neighbor, even love for your enemies, just as God loves. "Yeah, but you don't get it, Pastor. These are the most important elections in our lifetimes." How many have heard that this year? Okay. How many heard that 4 years ago? And 4 years before that? And 4 years before that? Every election I've been alive, I've been told that these are the most important elections ever. And elections are important. I encourage you to go out and vote. But as you do, remember that the most important thing that we do is how we treat each other. You know, Jesus didn't say that the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and vote in November. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two great commandments. Now, of course, some people don't seem to care what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Jesus said, even love your enemies. But people don't want to listen. A recent NPR report showed how these elections are so divisive that not only is it tearing neighbors apart and friendships apart, it's even tearing families apart. There's one fellow that they interviewed. His name is Ricardo. He's not our Ricardo. And he said that, I hate to say this, because family is everything. He said, family is everything. But then in the next sentence he said, I disown them. In my mind, they're not my family anymore. Family is everything, yes. In another case, there were two brothers that haven't spoken to each other in years. And it wasn't that the one brother did something terrible. It wasn't that the brother said something awful. It's that at one time, the one brother had voted for the wrong candidate. And his brother hasn't spoken to him in years since. Throughout the article, people felt justified in how in treating others poorly because they said they were just standing up for what they believe in. So I wonder, do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe in the Bible? The Bible says in 1 John 4, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. He has given this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you like everything that your brother or sister or your friend or your neighbor does. But remember what Jesus says. Jesus says that we are to love even our enemies and even those who persecute us. Now, we might be able to wiggle our way out of those commandments if there were other things in the Bible that we could say, well, yeah, but. And so I looked up to share with you this morning all of the scriptures that talk about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So, well, you know that there is none, of course. Those are modern parties, and that's kind of an unfair test. How about this? How about sharing with you all of the scriptures that talk about voting? Whether that be voting in a church, whether that be voting in a national election, there's even a whole book of Judges, so maybe even voting for judges. There's got to be some there, right? Well, again, no. There's not one mention of elections in the scriptures, but over and over again, the scriptures tell us to love one another, to love our neighbors, to love even our enemies. Romans 12 says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If it is possible, insofar as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You can't stop somebody from treating you terribly because of who you vote for. That's not under your control. But you do get to choose how you will respond to those who disagree with you. A recent poll found that 1 in 5 Americans said that if their presidential candidate does not win, that they will take to the streets and possibly even commit violence. That's a bit scary. But you know, we've seen much worse. 150 years ago, the nation was at war with itself. Brother was killing brother, and more people died in that conflict than in all of our other wars put together. It was in the midst of that fighting that Abraham Lincoln was elected to his second term as president. And in his inaugural speech, he had every right to lay it into his enemies, to vow revenge, to vow their extinction. Instead, he said these famous words: "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." And the group has recently adapted this approach to face the divisions that we have today. And they've developed what they call the "With Malice Toward None" pledge. Anybody heard of that? "With Malice Toward None" pledge. And it says this: "Regardless of how the elections turn out, I will not hold hate, disdain, or ridicule for those who voted differently than me. Whether I am pleased or upset with the outcome, I will seek to understand the concerns and aspirations of those who voted differently and will look for opportunities to work with people with whom I disagree." Now, they probably could have shortened that pledge a little bit. Could have said simply, "Regardless of how the elections turn out, I will love my neighbor." Is that a pledge that you'd be willing to take? That you will love regardless, even if your neighbor has those 27 yard signs, even if your family member votes for a different candidate, and even if your candidate loses, or even if your candidate wins, will you pledge to love regardless? Why is that so hard? And why are politics so important to some that they would say, "I don't care what Jesus says"? Maybe it's because we put our hope in people rather than in the Lord. But there are no perfect candidates, and there are no perfect neighbors, no perfect family members. And even if there were, they would still just be people. And people let us down. But the Lord is God. And he will never forsake us or abandon us. In the 130th Psalm, the psalm writer is speaking out of the depths of despair, but also remembering that our hope is in the Lord. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning, more than the watchman waits for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." You know, if your candidate loses on Tuesday, the Lord is still the Lord. And if your candidate wins on Tuesday, the Lord is still the Lord. And even if we don't find out who wins on Tuesday, the Lord is still the Lord. And if your neighbor doesn't agree with you, your neighbor is still your neighbor. So love your neighbor, because that's what the Lord said. And the Lord is still the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, God, that we live in a nation that the people of many differences can come together, that you've given us the freedom to vote and to make other decisions, including the decision of how we're going to treat one another. And Lord, may we live up to your word. Insofar as it depends on us, may we choose to live at peace with all people. May we refuse to hate or ridicule or disdain others. But may we put our trust in you. For you alone are God. And our lives are in your hand. Our country is in your hand. This world is in your hand. Thank you for always being there. May we watch and wait for you more than the watchmen wait for the morning.